At Carl's Jr., we're pioneers of the great American burger. We're about quality, value, and taking a stand for your hard-earned dollar. That's why we made the $2.49 jalapeno double cheeseburger. It's the best burger for the price you ever had, with two charbroiled beef patties, jalapenos, and pepper jack cheese. Because if you don't stand for something, that means you're sitting. And that's just lazy. The $2.49 jalapeno double cheeseburger, the best $2.49 burger you ever had. Only at Carl's Jr. Price and participation may vary. Tax not included for a limited time only.
Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1. Zero and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Hello, hello. Welcome back, dear listener. Great to have you back here once again on the Confidence Alchemist radio show here on the Coach on Fire radio network. My name is Keith Blake Monoble. I am the Confidence Alchemist, helping you to transform your deepest fears and phobias into your greatest strengths. And I will be your host once again. This is episode 6 of the radio show. So glad to have you with me. And I'm also glad this week to have with me Annette Lynch, who is, well, we're going to find out a lot more about this amazing lady. She represented her country in the Sydney Olympics back in 2000. She's retired from sport a few times. And she, in the process of doing all that, there's Annette laughing in the background there. In the process of doing all that, she has become a master of change. She is the game-changing expert, really helping people to change their game in life, wherever they are. Wherever they are in life. So we're going to have a great chat, learn a lot from Annette. As always, it'll be great if you want to take part, if you want to give us your comments, take part in the show. There's a couple of ways you can do that. The first way you can do that is if you are in the United States, you can call in on our guest line, which is 646-716-7979. Again, that's 646-716-7979. If you're not in the US, please don't call that number because it will be an international number. It will cost you an absolute fortune. Instead, you can go to facebook.com, go to the Confidence Alchemist Facebook page there. You can send me a message on there and I will be able to get that message and even read it out on air. Or alternatively, if you've gone to the Confidence Alchemist webpage itself, to the radio show page for today's episode, you'll see at the bottom there's a section where you can pop comments in. And again, if you pop your comments in there, we'll be able to pick them up and read them out as well. So however you want to get involved, whether you want to phone up, whether you want to post comments, or whether you just want to sit back, listen to everything Annette has to share with us. And I would strongly recommend take loads of notes. Either way, it's great to have you here, dear listener. And it's great to have you, Annette. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, Keith. And thank you so much for inviting me on your show. I'm looking forward to the next hour.
Hey, it's my absolute pleasure, Annette. It's great to have you here. Just for people listening, just so that they know a little bit, who are you, Annette, and where are you?
Who am I? Well, the easy thing to start with, where am I? I am calling in from Maui, Hawaii, with a lot of aloha. I'm originally from Australia, but I've been living in Hawaii for, I always say, a solid 5 years, but on and off for 8 years. But originally from Australia, I am, as you mentioned, I'm an Olympian. Some say an ex-Olympian, but we say once an Olympian, always an Olympian. Played beach volleyball for Australia at the 2000 Olympics. And since, as you said, I did retire a few times. I retired actually 3 times. The third time was the charm, really doing it for the right reasons and learning a lot, you know, how to transition effectively. And we'll probably go a little bit deeper into that. But I became a life coach, performance coach, neuro-linguistic practitioner, same as what you do, Keith, and I got to teach that around the world, and which is how we met. Settled in Maui and created a little bit of a life for myself here.
Fantastic, fantastic. And yet you're right, you're teaching people NLP with neuro-linguistic programming. That was indeed exactly how we met. I was fortunate enough to be one of the people who Annette taught NLP and hypnosis. She was my introduction into this whole new world that's opened up for me over the past 7 years. So, and it's great to have you on the show so that we can share some of your experiences with the wider world. But Annette and I have known each other for a while, but we haven't caught up for quite some time. So it's good to finally catch up again. So how do you go from being an Olympian, which is like the top of the top athletes in the world? How do you go from that to, where do you go from there? I mean, that's kind of like the pinnacle of where you can get. Where do you go from then? How?
Well, you know, it's really settling down. When I first retired after the 2000 Olympics, I was really looking forward to, you know, after sport and just doing all the things that what I thought normal people do, you know, not having to be so committed to my sport and having a little bit more choices, you know, spend time with family and even create a family. I was single at the time and looking forward to, not being married to volleyball anymore. And I actually had a degree. I had a physiotherapy degree, but I wasn't passionate about that. And, you know, had some ideas of getting involved with sports media, sports marketing, something with sports. And, I flitted amongst some different jobs, but wasn't really, really finding my feet. And I guess I was in marketing thinking, yeah, that would help me. But I didn't commit myself to studying the things that I, you know, could possibly make it easier. I did some internships in sports media. I did commentating and this and that, but no real fixed direction with that. And I fell back into physiotherapy, and I also fell back into volleyball, which is why it took me 3 times to retire. I kept gravitating to what I identified with, what I was good at, where I felt rewarded, fell in with where I felt I belonged. And I guess the unfortunate thing was that I was still succeeding. You know, I was, there was still something more to learn in volleyball. I know that when I came back in 2002, I actually had one of my best years on the world tour and even getting a fifth on the in a world tour competition. So there was still something more to get. This is later in my life. And so when I retired again at the end of that year, you know, I was like, you know, time to get on. The body's hurting and time to do other things. I came back again when I was 40 because I could, I guess, and it was as fit as I could be. And, still made it on to our national tour finals, you know, got a second. Would have been nice to have, you know, gotten a first at 40 years old. But I was still competitive and, you know, was still winning in my state and winning Queen of Beaches kind of thing. So I guess there was that reward in volleyball and I felt that, you know, identified with being an athlete and that's where I belonged. And what helped me to really move on and retire for the third and last time was really realizing that I was more than an athlete. And finding new goals and new direction with a passion. Up until that time, I really had been living in the past and thinking this is what my life's about and there's nowhere else to go. And I started going to some seminars, personal development seminars, which really opened up my eyes to think, you know, how do I want my life to be ahead of me? stop looking behind, look forward. And I started to dream again, you know, when you're young, you think, what do you want to be? It's like, well, what do I want to do with my life? And started to set some clear goals of what that looked like. And, I saw the trainer up on the stage and I thought, wow, that would be great to be out. You know, I'd done a lot of motivational speaking in my life as an Olympian. And I thought, imagine being able to, you know, transform people's lives. And so I enrolled in all these courses, invested in myself for probably the first time. And it made such a big difference to my life.
It certainly did. It certainly made a massive difference in your life and enabled you to make a massive, massive difference in so many other people's lives as well. I just want to go back to you basically retired, as you said, retired from sport three times. I wonder how much of that do you think might have been down to, as you said, there was more to learn, more for you to get from sport. And I'm wondering how much of that for you and also for other people, how much of it is kind of around having the confidence to go, right, you know what, doing this thing, in your case, sport, volleyball, this is where I'm comfortable. This is what I know how to do. And kind of you branch out into other things, but then confidence or lack of confidence in the other things that you're doing kind of makes you almost fall back into that comfort zone of doing what you know you're good at. I mean, how much of that do you think might have played a part? And if it did, what can people do to kind of say, right, you know what, this is it. I'm now going to step out of this comfort zone and do new things rather than keep coming back to what I always do.
Yeah. I think definitely the comfort zone comes into it, and seeing the ease of making those things happen and falling back into it, it can be very easy. They were my friends and I was having fun, and really the way to move out of that, where ultimately if I stayed there, it wasn't going to be comfortable for too long. The body can only go so far. Unfortunately, sport is an area where you retire early, and sometimes, the change is thrust upon you if you are injured, et cetera. And not just for athletes, change can be thrust upon you, and you may continue to look back and think, no, I want to be here. This is comfortable. And it's all about really identifying, in a way, a new vision for your life and making that clear and vivid and inspiring, mapping it out, but just getting a clear picture of what it looks like. And that's what happened for me when I started to get clear on a life without volleyball and what that would look like. When I first retired, I was like, yeah, I want to do a bit of sports media, but it wasn't clear. And I didn't really believe in myself. I really didn't believe in that goal. I had a lot of excuses that it wouldn't happen. I didn't have the degree, I didn't have the education. I didn't have the profile. I was a low-profile athlete in a low-profile sport. I didn't have the Olympic medal or anything. My mantra was, I'm just an Olympian. I didn't even appreciate the fact that I was an Olympian. I didn't appreciate what I had. And so there were a lot of reasons to keep me back in my comfort zone, or maybe I was trying to still achieve something that I thought was worthy to move on. And the difference was for me was getting a clear vision of what I wanted my life to be, which enabled me to let go of that old image of myself and that old identity. And when I switched around and realized what I wanted to do, it made it even hard to play volleyball. I had one more tournament to play with a gal, and I said, I just can't do it. I just was too excited about all these other things happening.
I know, that's interesting. So because of all this other stuff that you'd learned and developed, because you were determined to push yourself into your new career, this old pattern of falling back into the old comfort zone actually was no longer quite as comfortable as it had been, and no longer had the pull, because you had something else that was at this point in life an even stronger pull.
Strong pull. And I was talking, it almost dissolved the fear. It's fear that holds us back from going into something new, because I guess it's the fear of the unknown. But when you make your time to picture and envision what that looks like, it's no longer the unknown. There are definitely unknown factors. Will it work or doubt? If you are focused and committed to it, which are two of my important keys for making change, focus and commitment, that will help you overcome the discomfort, the fear, to move forward and make it happen.
That certainly makes a lot of sense. So we're going to come on to these keys in just a moment. I know you've spoken before about there being three main steps to making change. I wonder, could you sort of give us a little bit insight into what are these three main steps to making change?
And they're pretty simple, but you know, simple is not always what we do. It's not necessarily easy. And
yes.
My mantra of dare to dream, believe, and make it happen. And so daring to dream is setting goals, getting clear on what it is you want. And, you know, I put the dare factor in that. It's like really dream about what it is that you want and, you know, going outside perhaps of what's currently happening now. And it could be completely opposite to what you're doing now. But, you know, when you this is what I want my life to be, or this is what I want to have happen in my life, you know, thinking about that, get a picture of it. So dare to dream, and then belief is a very important part of it, because without that, it stays a dream. It's it's like, that'd be nice, or it's nice for other people, and you know, I wish, and it will definitely never happen. So you've got to believe in it, and I know many of my times in my life where I didn't believe, but I also know the belief I had in myself to go to the Olympics, you know, to, you know, no one else necessarily believed that I could make it to the Olympics, but I had to have that myself, and can't rely on the belief of others. You've got to believe in yourself, remove all doubt, have this dream, and finally you've got to make it happen. And so that's taking action, and whatever action that might be, and often when you get those first two parts, the actions, you know, it becomes clear what you want to do, and it's becoming open to opportunities. It's making plans, even, you know, mapping it out, or you know, whether it's writing it out and doing what you can to say yes to the opportunities that make it happen.
Nice. So dare to dream, believe, and then as you rightly point out, very key one, take action. Those are your three steps the three main steps for making change.
Make it happen, because sometimes, you know, there definitely is action in it, but in the belief to make it happen, there's focus and commitment. And often it's that, you know, commitment and that focus that makes it happen. It's, I was talking to someone the other day, and we were talking. This was at my work, and we were saying, "Hey, this conference would be good for what you do to go to." And she's like, "Yeah, I saw that," and you know, she's sort of, you know, it would be good to go to. And I said, you know, make it happen. You know, just say you're going. You know, and in that mind, get it clear. It's like, yeah, I'm going. And somehow, you know, if you make that commitment and see yourself there, the things around it, the opportunities and how you sell yourself, say, you know, so for example, she's got to sell it to her boss to make that happen. If you just ask and hope that you can go, you're less likely to go. But if you're like, it directs how you communicate. It directs what answer you're willing to take, or the steps you're willing to take to get there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I do love that make it happen thing. I can remember very, very, very clearly something that happened to me last year, a couple of years ago. I was basically a potential opportunity came up to spend a day in private training with a magician called Paul Daniels. He was a very famous magician in the UK. Sadly, he died last year. But there was an opportunity came up whereby I could have had a chance to work with him. And I know in the past I would have thought that exact thing. Oh, that would be nice. Wouldn't it be nice to get to do that? But I remember distinctly thinking, right, I want to do this. So the dare to dream. What would it be like if I could find a way to actually get to spend a day working privately one-on-one with Paul? And the more I started to dream about that and the effect it was going to have on me, the more I started to believe, you know what, this is possible. This could happen. And yeah, you're right. So I went from, it would be nice if that could happen, to, okay, this is going to happen. What do I need to do to make this happen? And sure enough, it happened. And I ended up spending a fantastic day with him because, as you say, change the way you approach it from, that would be nice, if only, to, it's going to happen. What do I have to do to make it happen? Yeah, I think you've got some, I think you're onto something there with those three keys. How did you come up with those three steps, just out of interest?
You know, it's a study. After my third retirement, 2006, you know, when I started going to conferences and seminars and trainings, you know, I trained to become a neurolinguistic practitioner and a life change coach and performance coach. And I started to look at, you know, how did I make these changes? And I was looking at how other athletes struggled in sport, in transitioning forward. So I thought, that's, you know, now I feel I successfully transitioned. What has allowed me to make that happen? And so I traced the steps. And at that point, it was an eight-step process. And they are still my eight steps of my program, Success Beyond Sport. Originally targeted for athletes, how to retire from sport and keep winning. But it's also, there's, you know, definitely an audience there for non-athletes because it's the same steps to make change in your life. And but then I sort of, you know, looking at those eight steps, it's like, well, really, these are the 3 points. And it's just, it's much easier to remember 3 points than it is to remember 8 points. So it's like, simplify it. And they were the most important steps. You know, within the belief and make it happen, and I've mentioned a couple of times, it's the focus and commitment, which are keys to that. So I could make it, you know, elaborate, make it a five-step. But it's much easier if you think, okay, three steps, get a dream, believe, make it happen. And then within that, you know, there's another chunk of the focus and commitment. So I wanted to make it memorable. But I think from there, you know, and you know, there's lots of little pieces you can add to that. You know, with daring to dream, and we might touch on this as well, we can talk about clarity. So you can sort of map it out to have a lot more than just three pieces. But those three, starting with that, remembering that, will help anybody to make change that they desire in their life. And, you know, sometimes you're like, hey, things aren't happening, I want to make change. And sometimes change happens and, you know, you might resist it, but it's how do you take charge of that change?
Got it. Yes. Got it. Yeah, you're so right. There are many times in life where change happens whether you want it to or not, and you've got to you can either bury your head in the sand and get, well, buried by the change, or, as you say, you can take control and say, right, how am I going to manage this change? What do I want out of this? And I guess these three steps would be ideal in that sort of situation as well. Dare to dream, change is happening, how can I make the best of it? What do I want out of this? What would be a great outcome for me from this? And then believe and make it happen, as you say.
Absolutely. You know, steering the change in the direction that you want. You know, it's okay, now I'm here. Like, you know, I'm in Maui because I met a guy, which was a part of, you know, I created this picture of my dream man living on an island, not knowing how that might happen, living, you know, living on a, near a beach and everything. And then I met this man on eHarmony. We met online, and he lived on Maui, Hawaii. And, you know, it was sort of a fait accompli that, okay, if we're going to make our lives happen, then I was going to come here. He had, dogs and other, and a daughter and equipment, so he wasn't necessarily going to move to Australia. So, you know, even though it was like it definitely was a positive change, there was still steps like, okay, how do I make this change work for me? How do I fit into this change? It's not just about moving, but all the other aspects to it.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that story about how you two met, because I remember the first time I heard you sharing it, it's like, wow, that's amazing. Because I know one of you missed it out this time because obviously we're short for time, but I know you kind of had this picture of the whole thing, including you and him running along the beach with, what was it, with two dogs, was it, or something? And that turned out to be exactly how it is. That is amazing. Yeah,
the first time we actually physically met, you know, was we were running down on the beach here in Maui, and I was there, and it's like, you know, it was an exact picture, but it was very close. It's like, wow, I'm running on the beach with a man with two dogs, and you know, that was 2 years earlier. This picture in my mind of my dream life, and I don't know, you know, I'm not even a dog person; I'm a cat person. So.
Wow.
Three cats. So it's all good.
All good, good, good. All balances out. Nice. So, hey, Annette, what's the most important key to creating the change that you want in your life? What would be the most important key?
For me, and maybe it's just me, it's the clarity of your dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because, you know, my Olympic dream was easy. It's like, you know, it sort of came into me when I was young. It's like, man, I want to go to the Olympics, etc. My life after sport, that was less clear. What did I really want? And even, you know, as I was here in Maui, you know, I had little pieces of what I wanted, but it wasn't really clear. And whenever I lacked that clarity, I struggled in my life. You know, I had little ideas of that, but it was like, man, it's not happening. You know, why isn't this happening? It's because I didn't have the clarity. And mm-hmm. without clarity, it's hard to have belief and desire to make something happen because it's just not clear. And, you know, I'd have some vague ideas. And I'd write down points and I, you know, definitely have my bucket list and you know, those things I tick off. But, And you know, with a bucket list, when you're writing it down, that adds clarity to what you want in life and a list of things you want to achieve and experience. But with my overall life, I lack clarity in necessarily how I want my life to be here on Maui and my specifically my professional life. And as long as I had clarity, it was all a little bit vague. But once I gained clarity and would write it down how I want my life to be, then, you know, things would swiftly change. And so I know that's the key for me. It's got to be the key for others. Can you relate to that?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if you don't have clarity, if you're not clear on exactly what it is you want, then how can you dream big about whatever it is you want? How can you believe in it? And how can you make it happen if you're not even sure what it is that you want? So, yeah, I can see that.
And so sometimes the negative experience in your life are really to help you to get that clarity, you know, to, I don't want this, so this is what I want. And so often you have to go through these little struggles, I believe, to really help you define what it is you want and to shape your life. And sometimes it's like, well, I thought I wanted this, but it's not. So, you know, refine. And I guess I came a lot out of that as well with through seeing what a lot of my you know, I've got a lot of successful friends doing amazing things. And, you know, social media, you can see what they're doing. And, you know, like, wow, I wish I was doing that. Or, you know, that's my initial thoughts. But then I sort of think about it. It's like, well, actually, no, I don't really want that. You know, it's like, it seems like, wow, their life sounds great. But if I step into about everything that's involved with that, I was like, well, no, I don't want that. You know, this is what I want here. This is, you know, these aspects are important to me. These are my values. And you know, I love this, love that. So into it comes appreciation. But hey, you know, if I tweak this this is what I want, can help definitely shape clarity. But really getting clear with what you want and not necessarily what others want.
Yeah, that certainly makes a lot of sense. So I guess, as you say, having the clarity about when you see other people posting these wonderful things they're up to on Facebook, if you don't have clarity about what you do want, you can end up dreaming and believing and make happen things that just because other people are doing them, they're not really what you actually want. So you spend all that time chasing them, you get them, and then you think, well, why am I still not happy? It's because it wasn't something I actually wanted.
Well, the thing is, you don't even make them happen because you don't have the desire and the commitment to it. So spend your time wishful thinking, and why doesn't anything happen to me? It's because you don't want it, really. You're not committed to it. You're not focused. But just when you see it, it's like, oh, man, that would be good. But then you go back to doing what you would normally do because it isn't really what you want
to do. Okay. So I guess that's probably why, I mean, often people will sort of talk about how they get stuck in a situation. Nothing ever seems to change. No matter what they do, it's the same day in, day out, week in, week out. I'm guessing is that kind of what's causing them to be stuck in situations? Is because they're not clear on what they want? Or is there something else?
Yeah, they're not clear on what they want. Plus, I definitely found myself in this, and you're thinking, oh, my life's like this, and you try and fix it. And you try and fix it, and you fix it, you know, looking at, oh, this is the problem, this is my life, you know, how do I fix this? And we're just staying in the problem versus stepping out of the problem, stepping out of the struggle, and just focusing on how you want your life to be. Getting that clarity is like, this is what I want. And just stepping out, you don't have to fix anything. You know, let go of fixing it, unless it's like you're like us and got a leaky roof. Yes, that needs to be fixed. But even there, as I think of that, it's like, well, why don't I just focus on having a healthy roof? and think about what you want. It's getting a new roof. It's creating the life you want. Now, what do you want in life? What do you want to have happen? What kind of career do you want? How do you want your business to be? What kind of relationship do you want? You know, not necessarily fixing a relationship, and, you know, you may be in a relationship or not. Say if you're in a relationship, just focus on the relationship you want to have with that person. If you're single, focus on the relationship you want to have with somebody. What does that look like? You know, rather than trying to solve your partner or trying to fix making them change for you. You're thinking, how do you want it to be? And often, you know, I've had some challenges with my husband, and I've just really resolved it in my mind. How do I want it to be? And how do I want to be in this? And, you know, and I haven't really had to have the difficult conversations because it's just morphed into what I want it to be.
Beautiful. I like that. That really is powerful. I can see how that can not doing that can certainly keep you stuck in situations, whereas taking that approach gives you and your situation the room to breathe and to actually start to make new things happen. I like that. That's really cool. Nice.
You know, the thing about the path of least resistance, it's not about resisting something. It's about moving on and thinking, this is what I want, and moving in this path.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Just a quick reminder, dear listener, if you want to have your comments, have your say, any questions that you might have for Annette, ways you can get in touch. If you're in the US, you can call us on our guest line 646-716-7979. That's 646-716-7979. If you're not in the US, don't call that number because it will cost you an absolute fortune. Instead, go to facebook.com/TheConfidenceAlchemist. When you're that's the Confidence Alchemist Facebook page, give the page a like while you're there. Why not? And when you're there, send me a message on that page. I'll get it. We can have a look. Or if you're on the Confidence Alchemist radio show webpage itself for this show, at the bottom of that page, there's a spot where you can also leave some comments. So where were we? Now I've got a question for you, Annette. And this is a question that sometimes stumps people. I think somehow you're going to have the answer to this one, though. I'm pretty sure you're going to have the answer to this. Very often, even though we may be dreaming big, we believe this is what we want. We got real clarity on it. Real life gets in the way, and we go, well, yes, but am I good enough? Can I do this? We just end up coming up with excuse after excuse, and we allow the doubts to multiply in our minds. So we allow all these excuses and doubts to really hold us back. Is there anything we can do to overcome that, or are we just doomed to, well, that would be nice, but all these excuses and doubts mean I can't actually achieve it? What can we do, Annette? Help!
You're doomed.
Oh, there we go.
Evil laugh. Oh, well, as long as you've got those excuses and doubts, you're doomed. But it's again, clarity comes to it. It's writing down the excuses and doubts will help you to, you know, in a way, identify them, and, mm-hmm. and basically, in a way, knock them out of the ballpark. You know, if you can actually write them down, see what they are, and either turn them around, or just scratch them out, or come up with a solution, or just think, okay, well, what if this wasn't an excuse, or you know, what else can I do? Change the can't to a can, or who are you not to, et cetera, et cetera. It helps you to, if things aren't, write down all the excuses and doubts you have, you know, just keep writing so that it gets out of your mind and gets out of your subconscious to your conscious so you can do something with it. And yeah, probably that's the only thing you can do.
Okay, I get it. So actually, rather than just mull over them in your head all the time, actually write them down, get them out there, get them on paper where their weaknesses can be exposed, and you can see them for the excuses they are, rather than the absolute certainty that means you can't do it. You can actually see, well, this is just an excuse, and there are actually ways I can get around it. And so by writing them down, I guess, would you say that by actually writing them down removes some of their power from them before you've even done anything else?
Well, it definitely helps you to address them. It's like, you know, having a conversation with if you're not even having the argument, you know, you're angry with them and you're not having the actual argument with them and telling you what's wrong with them, you can't, you know, rebut them. But by bringing them out in the open, actually, you know, going deeper, it's like, you know, because you might not even be mulling them over in your head. Your only excuse is I can't. And so by writing it, you're going deeper. Well, why can't I, you know, and then why else can't I? And oh, I've got this excuse, is because I'm too tall. Well, why is that an excuse? It's like, well, you know, tall people haven't done it before or whatever. And it's like, well, you know, what stops me from being the first? Da, da, da. You know, and you start switching that around. I mean, too tall could be excuse for not doing gymnastics.
Nice. I like that. No, that's powerful stuff. Okay. Now, some may say that this is an excuse. Others may say, no, it's not an excuse. It's reality. We've taken a look at the main steps for change and the keys for creating change and all these things, and even how to overcome our excuses and doubts. And all those are absolutely brilliant. But you knew there was a but coming there, didn't you? But what happens when others are involved? Like, I don't know, partners, children, bosses, friends, all these sort of, other people are involved in this. How do you handle that sort of situation when they need to be involved in the change?
It's definitely something I can answer better than I did before, when I was really this independent person. And I didn't get married till I was 45. So I was really married to my independence and freedom and being able to do what I wanted. And and that certainly has changed. And it's embracing that entity, that partner, that the people that you work with, or you know, your kids, embracing them into your vision of what that future looks like. You know, so I've talked about creating a picture of what it is you want. It's like, how does that fit into the picture? I mean, you can either think, well, I want this, but I don't want them about, you know, or I want them in the picture, and it's going to work like this. Create a picture of how it looks like with them in the picture. And getting really clear on that. It's, you know, other than them fighting it and like, well, but I want this, you know, and sort of saying too bad about them. It's like, well, really? You know, are you willing to sacrifice them? Or it's molding your dream to the reality.
Right. Okay, I get it. Yeah. Okay.
You definitely you don't necessarily want to change them, but it is a slight modification. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this and my relationship to be like this, and we are doing this, and you know, and it's not necessarily you have to have a conversation and win them over. It's just creating that vision, and the more certain you are in it, the easier it is to have those conversations. There's times when I want to do something and it may go against my husband's values or what he thinks is important, and it makes me one think, well, okay, how important is this? I get in his mind how he would think about it, which sometimes is the opposite, which is really useful because so often I'm the ultimate optimist, and it's great to have his idea thinking, well, you know, what are some of the downsides of that? But it also makes me think, well, I really need this enough to be able to convince him. And how would I do that? Or do I really want this enough? You know, what really is important? Or I look at it from different angles than I would if I was just on my own. So it's really quite a blessing, I believe. So often we can have like, wow, you know, he's so opposite to me. But there's a blessing in that because there's something to embrace in there, that whole yin and yang component, and to be able to look at things differently.
Got it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So when you've got others involved, be it partners, children, bosses, whatever, far from it being another potential obstacle, it's actually you're kind of actually turning that around into, this is a way to enable me to gain even greater clarity on what I want. Is it the right thing that I want? Are the things that I missed? Have they spotted flaws that kind of I never saw in it? So it's, as you say, it's a blessing. It actually helps you, if anything, to become even more clear on what specifically it is that you want.
Yeah, and what's really important, and rather than just going off, you know, I know I've at times thought, you know, I would have taken various risks, and it's like, no, I've got to make it less risky and more of a conscious decision, and you know, but if it was important enough, I'd be able to have a conversation and say, no, this is why it's important.
Got it. So
just because I want to.
Yeah. So I guess a key is talk, discuss, explore, find out what everybody's take on it is, find out what everyone's view and so on is, and see how best you can enroll them into your grander vision whilst respecting and working within their own sets of values and visions and frameworks as well.
Yeah, well put.
Oh, thank you. Nice. Okay, a question for you, Annette. Do you ever feel that you don't have a choice in things? And if so, how do you deal with that?
You know, I definitely get to those points, And it's about looking at the choices you do have,
mm-hmm.
and just being able to take time to step back and again thinking, well, how do I want this to be? It's, you know, and never sort of think, well, I didn't have a choice. It's like, well, you do. And it's the subtleties. It's not black and white. It's yes or no. It's like, yes, this is how it's going to look. Or it's no, this is how it's going to be. And constantly looking out outside the box to what your choices are.
Yes, I see. So we do always have a choice. We may not always have the choice that we would want, but we do always have choices.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and sometimes, you know, the reason why you don't feel you have a choice is because you don't want to upset the apple cart. You don't want to make somebody angry, or you don't want to be rejected or disliked. And so that really is what's influencing whether you have a choice or not, or you don't want to get caught. you're blackmailed. It's like, I don't have a choice. Like, well, you know, you could face the music. But really it comes down to often your values and you know, even questioning, well, what's stopping me from choosing this if it's not necessarily what I want? I'm being forced to do this. Yeah, and it really comes down to, again, being conscious of the choices you're making and conscious of having a choice. Is this really what I want to do? You know, it's like, oh, I've got to go to this do or this party, or I've got to get this. And like, well, do you?
Yeah, I get it. So, yeah, so you yeah. Yes, you always have a choice, and it's are you able or prepared to go with the consequences of making choices? Sometimes, I guess, is the important thing to consider.
Yeah, and then, you know, that's is up for even deeper exploration. It's like, well, what are you, if you make this choice, what are you then afraid of? You know, what's your fear there? And becoming aware of that, or what's your excuse again, doubt, you know, and just building your awareness of it, so you're not just reacting, being reflexive, you're consciously making your choices and decisions, and considering it all, and considering the consequences, and then if you have a fear there with the consequences, facing that and maybe overcoming that.
Nice. Nice. Yes, I like that. I like that. There was a word that you mentioned during part of that, which you've mentioned a few times. Values, and you and I know what values are, but just for our listener who may or may not know what's meant by values, how would you define values? What are they, and how can you figure out, do I have any values? What are they? How can I figure out what they are? And why are they important?
Well, that basically are what's important to you. You know, what's important to you in life, or what's important to you in a relationship, what's important to you in a career, they are your values. And you only focus on what's important to you. So, you know, a common value is honesty or freedom or security. You know, if you value security, then your decisions will reflect that. You know, less likely to take risks and less likely to perhaps, you know, go off and create a business on the fly versus, you know, what's going to help me with security with my family or financially, et cetera. So, you know, it's really important that the relationships work by having mutual values that you share. Because you know what, you basically share that importance in life and put a priority on that.
Got it.
I know that was a big part of my change in my identity, from changing from valuing sport to valuing other parts of my other parts of the career, and valuing freedom. And value. Well, I always valued freedom in certain ways. Valuing I mean, I didn't have a lot of financial security with my sport, and definitely didn't have wealth with that. And so it was like making some shifts in what was my focus. And but some values are very instilled and are a very big part of who I am and what I do. You know, one value that I took to the top of my list, just by being aware of it, really, was love. You know, and that really changed everything for finding love in my life. Before that, I was like, you know, I valued relationships, and I had relationships in my life. I had, you know, important business relationships and lots of friends. But it wasn't until I embraced love in my life as a value that I got to meet Stephen, the love of my life.
Oh, nice. So our values can, not only do our values kind of, I guess, in a way govern opportunities that we see and kind of inform and guide us in our actions, but our values can also change or be changed to, in order to give us different outcomes in life. Is that true?
It can, and it comes out of a desire to change. All this change, you can't change anything you don't want to change. You've got to be aware of what your values are, writing them down, what's important to you, writing them all down, and being aware of the priority. You know, what's most important, what's second most important, and being honest with yourself with what that really is, because you know the results in your life will tell you what is important. Because say you could say, hey, I value health. Yeah, what are you doing about it? You know, if you valued health, you would be eating better, or you would be exercising, or doing things that affect your health. If you're not, then yeah, you may value health, but it's really down a little bit lower on your priority scale versus the things that you are doing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, yeah, that certainly makes a whole lot of sense. Yeah, I guess if someone, I don't know, if money was very low down on their values, I guess that's probably going to show up in their bank account and the amount of wealth that they have in their life, and the same with basically any value. So I suppose you can get an idea of what your values are by just seeing what you have or don't have in your life. In a
absolutely
way.
So that is, you know, your environment. How do you keep your house, and you know, cleanliness versus or neatness versus, hey, I haven't got time because my focus is on my career, you know, and spending long hours and you know, travel or you know, you value freedom. I remember working with someone, he valued freedom. He wanted his freedom now, but wasn't willing to do the work that gave him his freedom. It's not really quite working for you because you've got to put in a bit of time to developing that freedom. Oh, although, you know, it is not, and there's no right or wrong with this. It's what's important to you. Some people have that freedom and go without money and create a great life for themselves, you know, because that's what they want. They want to keep it simple, or maybe it's not so simple. I don't know. But it's whatever you want in your life and not what other people want.
Yeah. And that last bit is such an important, such an important thing for us to get. It's what we as individuals want, not what other people want us to want. That's ultimately what ought to be driving us.
Which brings,
nice.
What do I want? You know.
Yeah. Yeah. They bring us full circle. That's neat.
Yeah. We've been making some changes around our house and everything, and you know. I was asking, what do you want with this? And I was like, you know, I just don't know. And I'm not going to force a decision, but until, you know, my heart says, no, I really want this, then, you know, focusing on what it is you do want. And sometimes, you know, and maybe if you're listening to this, maybe you think, well, I don't know what I want. And be okay with that, but just start scribbling. Well, abstract ideas. Well, this is important. This is. It'd be nice to have this. You know, whether it's thinking about a particular job. What are some aspects of that? You know, whether it's freedom of hours or the people that you work with. What are the values in that? I definitely write down characteristics for my dream man, and Stephen instills them. Thinking we had similar interests in wine, that was important to me, and we have a lot of those things, and it's putting it down on a list and sort of detaching from it, just letting it go, but just created that clarity can make that happen.
Nice, beautiful, beautiful. So it is all about change, and as you said, you absolutely can make the changes that you want happen. You can be the game changer in your own life. The key to it is clarity, daring to dream, belief, make it happen. And you can absolutely architect the change that you want to make in your life.
No excuses.
No excuses. I like that one. Hey, Annette, it's been absolutely fantastic catching up with you again. I've loved our chat. I've certainly learned a few things from this, as I always do whenever we have a chat. I always come away with head spinning, going, "Oh my God, I never thought of things that way before." So it's been another one of those. How can people get in touch with you, Annette, if they want to find out a bit more about you, about what you do, about how you could maybe help them? What's a good way for them to get in touch with you?
Well, the first thing they can do is go to AnnetteLynchSpeaking.com, and I believe you've got that on your site. AnnetteLynchSpeaking.com. Unfortunately, Annette Lynch was taken, so I'm a speaker.
Yeah.
AnnetteLynchSpeaking.com, and there's a link to free stuff at the very top, so they can download a guide and checklist for game changing. There's also a guide and checklist for if they want to work on their presentation skills and speaking. With all my speaking, I'm also a speaker trainer. But I'm really passionate about the change aspect. And so they can download that and get a taste of have they got what it takes. And with the checklist, it's really taking an honest look. You know, sometimes like, oh, yeah, no, I set goals. But really, there's deeper questions to ask about that. And the other website is Success Beyond Sport, and that's my book, and it's an online program as well to take you through the 8 steps. So we can go deeper into clearing up the beliefs and values that support part of that program, and looking at how you play the game, being in a state of winning basically, how that can influence you. Also looks at your identity. I talked about the change in my identity from athlete to being more than that, and how you want to step out of your identity so that you're not limiting yourself, not limiting your game.
Yeah, awesome. So just a reminder of those sites, and you're right, they're on the page for this episode as well. But a reminder of the sites: AnnetteLynchSpeaking.com. And on there, you can grab some really good quality free stuff. And successbeyondsport.com, which is your 8-step program, which kind of started it all, I guess, your 8-step program specifically around sport, but it applies generally in life as well. And Success Beyond Sport is also the name of your book as well, which is available on Amazon and all good bookshops. Okay, well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us, Annette. It's been an absolute blast. And remember, folks, if you want to find out more about Annette, go to AnnetteLynchSpeaking.com or SuccessBeyondSport.com. Join me in 2 weeks' time in the next episode, episode 7, where my guest will be DJ Sabanjo, and we will be talking. I'm going to save that surprise for when the episode comes up, but it's certainly going to be of significant interest, particularly to anybody who wants to, kind of set up or run their own business, particularly around coaching, speaking, any of that kind of thing. So until then, take care, look after yourself. Remember, change is always possible. When you change your mind, you change your life. This is Keith Blakemore-Noble, the Confidence Alchemist. check me out at theconfidencealchemist.com, and I will catch you in 2 weeks' time. Until then, bye for now.
You got a love with your life, like a fire burning strong, till the night is coming.
Coach on Fire Radio.
At Carl's Jr., we're pioneers of the great American burger. We're about quality, value, and taking a stand for your hard-earned dollar. That's why we made the $2.49 Jalapeno Double Cheeseburger. It's the best burger for the price you ever had, with two charbroiled beef patties, jalapenos, and pepper jack cheese. Because if you don't stand for something, that means you're sitting. And that's just lazy. The $2.49 Jalapeno Double Cheeseburger, the best $2.49 burger you ever had. Only at Carl's Jr. Price and participation may vary. Tax not included for a limited time only.
Here, try my jumbo breakfast platter with scrambled eggs, 8 mini pancakes, hash brown, and bacon or sausage for just $2.99.
$2.99? Shut the front door.
Of the van or... Only a Jack in the Box. Limited time only at participating restaurants.